Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Thursday, June 22nd, 2017. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Extension Looks to Community to Help Make Up State Funding Shortfall, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. The state budget impasse means that University of Illinois Extension for McLean County, whose programs include 4-H and Master Gardeners, hasn't received state matching money for 2 years. But Extension and 4-H supporters aren't waiting for state politicians to get their act together. Like human services agencies, they are dealing with delayed or reduced state funding. Extension has made do with less, collaborated with other agencies, and dug into their reserves. Now they're asking for help, while also holding out hope that Extension gets state dollars for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. We need to work together in the absence of state funding, said Ed McKibben, president of the McLean County Extension Service Foundation Board. The county fairs in McLean, Livingston, and Woodford counties aren't in jeopardy for this year, said Bobby Lewis Sibley, Extension Director for the three counties. But if we don't receive state money, it may look different next year, said Lewis Sibley. If Extension isn't funded, we won't have the money to support our staff at the county fairs. Extension provides staff support for the 4-H program that is an integral part of county fairs, she noted. The McLean County Fair is August 2nd to 6th at the Interstate Center grounds in West Bloomington. Extension's largest program is 4-H Youth Development and Leadership. In McLean County, 1,200 youth belong to 4-H. One thing I learned in 4-H is the respect everyone has for each other, said Eli Tobin, 19, of Lexington, a 9-year 4-H member. You really get to see the goodness in people, said Tobin, a member of Linden Leadham 4-H Club, whose projects included landscaping and intercultural. Other Extension programs include Master Gardeners, Nutrition and Wellness, Horticulture, and the Unity Community Center. Because of the state budget impasse, Extension in McLean County hasn't received $361,563 in state matching funds for the fiscal year that ended June 30, 2016, and $371,475 for the fiscal year that ends a week from Friday. McLean County Extension's budget for the fiscal year that begins July 1st is a little more than $1 million, Lewis Sibley said. Other income sources include the county tax levy, federal funding, program fees, and donations to the Extension Foundation. Extension has been able to keep going by not filling 6 vacant positions. Extension has 26 employees covering 3 counties. Cutting travel and marketing expenses, increasing collaboration with other agencies, and fundraising through the Extension Foundation, and dipping into reserves. Extension's reserves for the 3 counties is $21,000, Lewis Sibley said. It is through the support of all 3 county governments that we continue to operate, she said. Without the support of our communities, we would have drastically reduced staff and programs. Long-term, Extension and 4-H supporters hope for a return of full state funding and increased donations to the Extension Foundation. Short-term, they would like people to donate to the foundation to support the Champion Showcase, money that 4-H'ers receive for Best in Class, Best in Show, Champion, or Reserved Animal Awards at the county fair. The awards, which range from $5 to $400, depending on the project, don't cover costs of 4-H'ers' projects, but are meant to reward youth for mastering a project and showing leadership, said Lewis Sibley. The state has supported those awards with $30,000 each year, she said. Without that money, 4-H supporters have raised $19,500 and are looking to the community to donate the remaining $10,500 by August 2nd, when the county fair begins. After the state dropped our funding 2 years ago, I figured we lost it for good, said Tobin, adding, Our 4-H members don't have the resources to fill the gap, but maybe the adults can fill the gap so we can pass 4-H on to our kids. It's realistic for the community to fund Showcase in the next month, Tobin said. It will be more difficult to make up the entire shortfall, but it's doable. The next story is entitled, Hearts at Home Dissolves, Thanks Donors. Significant financial strain forces Twin City Group to end services. By Julia Evelsizer. Bloomington. After 24 years of encouraging and educating mothers, Hearts at Home is saying goodbye. The decision to dissolve was purely financial, Julie Anderson, board chair of the Twin City-based group, said Wednesday. Most of our funds come from attendee registration fees for our biannual conferences, as well as from donors and sponsors. With our registration numbers decreasing, it made the financial strain more significant. We had a committed donor base, just not a large donor base, said Anderson. Founded in 1993 by Jill Savage of Normal, the group's purpose was to support mothers, promoting Christian values to strengthen families. Its offices were at 1509 North Clinton Boulevard in Bloomington. Anderson said this was mostly done through conferences hosted each year that attracted thousands of women. The events were hosted in 9 states and across Europe, including a huge event held every spring at Illinois State University. Conferences cover topics ranging from parenting for all age levels to marriage and spiritual development. We covered every level of parenting to support a family, said Anderson. The conference, scheduled for November in Rochester, Minnesota, has been canceled. We knew going into the April conference that we might have to do this. We made significant budget cuts to meet the difference, but unfortunately it wasn't enough, said Anderson. After Savage stepped down as CEO in December 2016, Anderson said the board did not fill the position to save money. As the financial strain continued, the group looked for similar family services in the community to merge with, but none were comfortable taking it on. Lastly, the organization laid off numerous employees before the last conference in April, and Anderson said those former employees still chose to volunteer at the event. We want to thank our staff. They have been patient and understanding and completely supportive of the excruciating decisions we've made, said Anderson. We also want to thank the community, donors, and sponsors for being so supportive of our organization for the last 24 years. They have really been what's made Hearts at Home possible. And to Jill Savage for having this idea many years ago. Anderson said she has heard some ask why the organization didn't reach out for donations from mothers to keep the group afloat. Because of the amount we needed to raise, from an integrity standpoint, we didn't feel comfortable as a board asking for donations, she said. Even with donations, we would need to sustain our finances going forward. We're in a position where we will be able to pay off any debts we had, but to be able to expand and grow, we don't have funds for that. Anderson said the ministry and support provided by the group will continue through the blogs of conference speakers and content on Savage's blog, www.jillsavage.org. Despite the organization closing its doors, Anderson said the years of service is already spilling over into the next generation. Our impact will continue through what we've provided to moms already. That hope, encouragement, education, and what we've equipped them with will be passed on to future generations, she said. Here's an article entitled, Poe, Brag About Ag in Illinois, by Kevin Barlow. Raymond Poe doesn't want to be known as the guy who sits in an office all day as the director of the Illinois State Department of Agriculture. On the job for a little more than a year now, Poe said Wednesday he still likes to connect with Illinois farmers and understand what they are going through. I was even planting beans earlier this spring, said Poe, who still farms with his son in Sangamon County. But I enjoy riding the combine so much more. Poe was the featured speaker Wednesday night at the Normal Rotary Club's annual Rural Urban Night, which was at the farm of Ray Rupp in rural Normal. "I don't get out to events like this very much," Poe said, "but I accepted this invitation for a couple of reasons, including the fact that it's a rural urban night. We should take every opportunity we can to brag about agriculture in Illinois, especially to our residents who might live in the communities and don't hear that message much." Also, he said, he knew he would get the chance to visit with Gordon Rupp, Ray's brother and a Normal Republican who served as director of the State Department of Agriculture from 1970 to 1973 and as a state lawmaker for 14 years. "This guy did a lot for the state, and I enjoy visiting with him," Poe said. In his message to the Rotarians and invited guests, Poe said he was proud to serve the farming community. "We are the largest industry in Illinois, and everything revolves around agriculture," he said. "If it wasn't for us, and like Gordy has always said, we touch everything in Illinois, from groceries to gas to the animals. A lot of great people work very hard in this industry." Poe, who served in the State House from 1995 to 2015, noted that he is glad to have the job he has now instead of wrangling with the state budget crisis. "There isn't nearly as much pressure now because when you have to go home and face your constituents with no budget, it's tough," he said. "I haven't been optimistic for the past 2 years on the budget, but we are going on our third year of that now, and I think it is getting really critical," he added. For the Central Illinois farmer, though, a budget may not help with crop concerns for this year. "I've been looking at crops all over the state, and really, they are not in very good shape," he said. "The weather has really played a huge part, especially for those fields near major rivers or streams, especially when you get south of Springfield." And the next local story is headlined, HCC Turbine Exceeds Expected Production, About 42% of Electricity Needs Met, by Lenore Sabota. Normal. The wind turbine at Heartland Community College has exceeded minimum expected production levels in its first 5 years of operation, generating more than 23,000 megawatts of electricity and meeting about 42% of the Normal campus's need for electricity, according to college officials. The turbine started producing electricity in June 2012. The $5.2 million project was funded in part by a $950,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Energy and a $512,000 grant from the Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation. Debt certificates issued to cover the remaining cost will be paid off in 2026 through energy cost savings. The Heartland Board of Trustees on Tuesday approved a 5-year service contract with Vestas American Wind Technology for maintenance and repair, including scheduled checkups at 6 and 12-month intervals. The cost for the first year will be $54,900, and annual increases will be based on the Consumer Price Index. The new contract also calls for installation of software to minimize bat fatalities. The college uses about 75% of the power generated by the turbine. When it generates power in excess of the college's needs, or when it is not needed, that power is sold back to Ameren and goes to local homes, college officials said. Jim Hubbard, Heartland's executive director of facilities, said the turbine has performed well, other than some transformer issues early on and gear repairs. At the time of its construction, engineers said it would generate about 4.3 million kilowatt hours of electricity annually, but it has been averaging about 4.7 million kilowatt hours. In addition to generating electricity, the turbine also is used for educational and training purposes, including wind tower rescue and climber training. Hubbard told the board that the life cycle of the wind turbine is 20 years before the generator would need replacement. The tower itself would be good for at least another 20 years beyond that, he said. In answer to a question from board member Don Gibb on what happens when the turbine is no longer used, Hubbard said about 80% of the turbine is salvageable, such as recyclable steel and copper. In other action Tuesday, the board approved a universal access service agreement with Connect Transit, with a 5% increase in what the college pays to the bus system for each rider. The one-year deal runs July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2018. The increase brings the charge to 70 cents per rider. However, because of a large decrease in the number of students, staff, and faculty using their ID cards to ride the bus, the overall cost of the service is expected to decrease $52,750, about 39.6% for the year, said Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services. Minter said ridership has dropped from about 200,000 a year to 115,000 annually. Among reasons for the decline are a slight drop in enrollment, lower gasoline prices making driving more affordable, the growing popularity of Uber, and changing in bus routes, which now require students to transfer in Uptown Normal rather than having a direct route to downtown Bloomington, Minter said. And here's a story from the Money section, headlined, Bloomington Normal Practice Moves, Adds Therapist, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. A growing counseling practice that recently relocated is adding a second therapist. Compass Counselors, which moved earlier this year to 2310 East Oakland Avenue, Suite 11B, Bloomington, is adding individual and family therapist Carly Johnson, said John Freshour, a licensed clinical professional counselor who is Compass's president. Compass offers counseling with a Christian worldview for children through older adults, Freshour said. 80% of the clients I see have anxiety, he said. Freshour of Bloomington has a master's degree in counseling from Lincoln Christian Seminary. He began offering small group, individual, and couples counseling at his church, West Twin Grove Christian Church, west of Bloomington, in 1995, before working at the Children's Home in Peoria and the Baby Fold in Normal, where he worked in adoption preservation. He opened his private practice at his church in 2015, then opened his office on Oakland Avenue earlier this year. In the busy lives we live, we get stuck in certain areas, Freshour observed. I meet clients where they are and walk with them through their journey. Johnson, who has a master's degree in art therapy, has been a child and family therapist for nearly 10 years and is a registered art therapist. For the past 7 years, she's worked at the Baby Fold, first in adoption preservation and then at the Residential Treatment Center. Baby Fold announced in May that it is discontinuing Residential Treatment Center services, effective June 30th, because of lack of state funding. Johnson is among Baby Fold staff members affected by that cut. I'm excited to bring more art therapy to the community, said Johnson, who joins Compass Counselors on July 1st. Through art, we are able to witness and respond to the emotional needs of ourselves and others. I find healing through art that is not always possible with talk therapy. And here is a State of Illinois news story, headlined, Slow Start to Special Session on Budget. State Lawmakers Talk Compromise, Blame. By Sophia Tarin. Springfield. The first day of a costly special legislative session aimed at solving Illinois' unprecedented budget crisis got off to a slow start, with both the House and Senate adjourning quickly Wednesday without making any substantive progress. Instead, Democrats and Republicans used news conferences and floor speeches to say they were ready to compromise and blame the other party for the gridlock that could stretch into a third year if lawmakers don't approve a budget by July 1st. Republicans touted their own budget, which caps spending at $36 billion and includes reforms Republican Governor Bruce Rauner wants, such as term limits and government consolidation, along with a temporary income tax increase. But House Republican leader Jim Durkin brushed aside questions raised by House Democrats. "When Democrats claim that our budget isn't balanced, it means we're doing our job," Durkin told reporters, "because they couldn't balance their way out of a wet paper bag, and they haven't for their time down here." Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan told reporters his chamber was ready to answer the governor's special session call and work on a budget with anyone who wanted to compromise. But he later issued a statement saying his chamber would spend the next 2 days hearing testimony about how some of the governor's proposed reforms would hurt the middle class, including workers' compensation and a property tax freeze. A House committee heard tearful testimony Wednesday from nonprofits who help domestic violence victims. "We owe it to the people directly affected by these changes to give them a seat at the table and a voice in the discussion, not just to hear from the corporate CEOs whispering in Governor Rauner's ear," Madigan said in a statement. The special session could last the full 10 days Rauner has called for, with legislative leaders saying Wednesday that they intend to show up each day. The Senate met briefly Wednesday to consider appointments, and then members of each party met privately to plan the week. Senate Democrats have approved a $37.3 billion spending plan that includes cuts and an income tax increase, and are pushing it as a compromise option. Still, no one seemed to budge Wednesday in the budget fight that began in 2015 when Rauner took office. He wants pro-business reforms in conjunction with a budget that relies on a tax increase. Democrats have argued that they've taken up several ideas, but Republicans keep changing their demands. Republicans say Democrats water down their proposals. Bipartisan meetings between key leaders have also been sparse. Rauner and Madigan met privately in April, their first since December, when all four legislative leaders sat down with the governor. Senate President John Cullerton and Rauner met a few times last month. "The stakes are very high for Illinois, which already has the lowest credit rating of any U.S. state. Ratings agencies have said, without a budget, Illinois will be downgraded to junk status. The state's backlog of unpaid bills tops $15 billion, with social service agencies and higher education among the hardest hit. Without a spending plan, transportation projects could be halted, and some lottery games could end." The special session is also expensive, with a single day costing roughly $48,000. The secretary of the Senate's office provided an estimate accounting for $111 daily per diem and 39 cents per mile for 177 members of the General Assembly, along with paying staff needed when lawmakers are at the Capitol. Actual costs may be lower, with not all lawmakers in attendance each day, some foregoing the per diem payments, and lawmakers typically getting a round-trip mileage once a week. Rauner had previously considered special sessions a waste of time and money, but said it's urgent this year. "Failure to act is not an option," Rauner said in speech on the eve of the special session. "Failure to act may cause permanent damage to our state that will take years to overcome." And in some national news, here's a story headlined, "Ballpark gunman had no real plans for violence. FBI, attack on Scalise, others, appears more spontaneous," by Ben Knuckles. Washington. Adrift and nearly out of money after 3 months of living out of his van in the Washington area, the gunman who shot a top House Republican and four other people on a Virginia baseball field didn't have any concrete plans to inflict violence on the Republicans he loathed, FBI officials said Wednesday. James T. Hodgkinson, 66, was shot and killed by police after he opened fire on congressional Republicans practicing for their annual charity baseball game against Democrats last week. Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana, the House Majority Whip, was struck in the hip and gravely wounded. Scalise remains hospitalized, and his condition was upgraded to fair on Wednesday. All five people who were shot, including two U.S. Capitol Police officers, survived their injuries. At a news conference on Wednesday, FBI officials gave an overview of the evidence they've gathered on Hodgkinson. They said he acted alone and had no connections to terror groups. But they said they had not yet clarified who, if anyone, he planned to target, or why, beyond his animus toward President Donald Trump and the Republicans he felt were ruining the country. It wasn't clear whether he had plans to attack the baseball practice or whether he just happened upon it the morning of June 14th, said Tim Slater, who leads the criminal division of the FBI's Washington field office. At this point in the investigation, it appears more spontaneous, Slater said. Hodgkinson had a piece of paper with the names of six members of Congress written on it, Slater said, but the note lacked any further context, and there was no evidence from his computer, phone, or other belongings that indicated he planned to target those officials. Slater declined to name the officials whose names were on the note or say whether they were Republicans or Democrats or were at the baseball practice. Scalise, 51, continues to make good progress, according to a statement issued Wednesday by MedStar Washington Hospital Center. And here's an item entitled, Flu Vaccine, Largely Ineffective for Some. New York. The flu vaccine did a poor job protecting older Americans against the illness last winter, even though the vaccine was well matched to the flu bugs going around, U.S. health officials said Wednesday. The vaccine was about 42% effective in preventing illness severe enough to send a patient to the doctor's office, but it was essentially ineffective protecting some age groups. That includes people 65 and older, the group that's hardest hit by flu, suffering the most deaths and hospitalizations. The flu season that just ended was a long one that peaked in February and was considered moderately severe. But the flu-related hospitalization rate for older adults was the highest it's been since the severe 2014-2015 flu season. And here's an item from today's Daily Digest entitled, ISU to host garden party. Normal. A children's garden party with the theme of Once Upon a Garden will be 9 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the Illinois State University Horticulture Center. The free event will celebrate stories of legendary plants through storytelling, planting magical beans, and creating enchanting crafts. The center is on Robb Road in Normal, across the street from the Corn Crib Baseball Stadium, and about a block west of Main Street. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph, dated June 22nd. Please stay tuned.